I am excited about being here today and ready to go. The Spirit of God is in this place. He's moving and doing something in our lives, in our community, and in our nation. And I want to really challenge us to brace ourselves, get into a position to receive today, because I believe God wants to push you forward and to really break off some of the stuff in your life. Maybe some things that you've said to yourself, hey, I feel like God has left me. He's abandoned me. But today that God's going to help free you from that, to know that he has never done that one time. And so to know that you can trust him and that he has your best interests in mind. And so as we get started here today in Daniel chapter 3, that's where our text is, and you can follow along. And if you don't know, we are on the Bible app. We're on YouVersion. You can pull up the event, and the notes will be there, and you can follow along, even add your own notes. And if you can't see in here and write notes, it's a perfect opportunity for you guys to get creative, because we are in a creative time right now. Get creative. And you know, by the way, sometimes when you get stuck in your life, it's not a matter of whether or not God wants to come through for you. It's a matter of whether or not God says you're going to do something different. Try something different. Because we can get stuck in our own ways and not realize that God is creative and that he also is still creating for you. We think that, well, God has done creating. He did it in 7 days and that's it. God is still creating opportunity for you. He's still creating room for you, even on the inside of your hearts. And so I just encourage you not to get stuck, but to get creative. And it might look a little difficult for you to do that, but step outside your box and do something different. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. This is the story where King Nebuchadnezzar sets up a huge statue and commands everyone in his kingdom to bow down to the statue. He had a real complex about himself, and he expected everyone to worship him. And he said, listen, here's a good idea. Let's erect a statue, and everyone's going to bow down toward it. And word got back that these three men did not do that. And he came up to him and said, listen, if you don't do what I ask you to do, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. And we have stories about this, and we read stories, and we, growing up, it was fun to talk about being thrown in the fiery furnace. What a great story. But in reality, understanding what it actually meant, you will go on to your death if you do not worship me. And their response was, God is good. He'll take care of us. He'll deliver us. But catch this, even if he doesn't, we're still not going to do it. Have you gotten to that point in your life where you've said, even if God does not deliver me from this situation, I'm still not going to bow. I'm still not going to give in to fear. I'm still not going to conform. And I'm still not going to walk in the way you want me to walk. I'm going to walk the way God wants me to walk. Have you gotten to that point in your life, or are you still kind of halvesies? And you know what I mean by halvesies? When it's good, it's good. And God is good. But when it's difficult and situations come up where we have to make choices and sacrifices and say, you know what? I can't walk that way anymore. I got to stand strong. Is it easier for you to go back to what was easy? Or have you gotten to the point in your life where you say, you know what? If no one else comes with me, I'm okay to go by myself. And if that means going to my death, I'm okay. These men had such a faith in God that they said, turn it up. It doesn't even matter. And Nebuchadnezzar got so angry that he turned it up 7 times hotter. And when he turned it up 7 times hotter, it killed all the soldiers who put them in. But they started walking around in it. And it was supernatural because Nebuchadnezzar looks up and says, hold on, wait a minute. Did we not throw 3 men in there? And they said, yes, we did. And he said, I see 4 walking around unbound. And the 4th one looks like the son of the gods. So him being able to have a revelation and know, man, that's Jesus walking around in there. Think about the conversation that we're having. What's up, man? How you doing? It's hot. I know. But you've got a God who can walk through fire and he's okay. You have a God who can walk through water and it does not affect him. He created it at all. And so he's not bothered by it. And so he's not bothered by your situation and how difficult it might be. And you might say to yourself right now, it's hot. He knows it's hot. But he has the ability to help you walk through it. That's who God is. These men took a stand when no one else took a stand. I want you to picture in your mind everybody else bowing, but these 3 guys in the back just looking. What is everyone else bowing to or toward, and what are you looking at yourself right now in your life? What is everyone else cowering in fear about, and what are you standing in faith about right now? It should not affect you like everybody else. There are people who are especially in the medical field, and I understand the panic that's there right now and because of what's happening, and duly so. There's precaution. But as a Christian, you should not take up that spirit of fear and walk around like that, because the enemy would like nothing more for you to walk around in bondage. Snuff out that light so that you don't show the world, hey, listen, it might be hot, things might be happening, things might be spreading, but I have someone walking with me right now. His name is Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you what, he's got this. This is the time for your testimony to shine. When you walk in fear, you give in to the enemy. Right now, the enemy would like nothing more for you to stop living. Listen, by all means, if you're sick, take precaution. By all means, stay home for a little bit. But don't stop living. That's not God's plan for you. Hardship comes, difficulty comes, but don't stop living. He's called you to life. Okay? Be creative, but keep living. My thought process for this week coming up is I am going on as business as usual until I feel like we have to make a change and adjust to it. Because I'm not going to allow fear to rob me, rob the church, rob what we feel like God's doing, because we're afraid that something's going to happen. By the way, when you got up today, something was going to happen probably. There are people who didn't make it to today. But God's grace woke you up today so that you can be here and be about his business. And so this idea of somehow that, well, we could stop the spread of everything. You cannot stop the spread of everything. Okay? It's just life. You are a fallen being, okay, who has a new nature but still has to deal with the effects of life. And sometimes things happen and things get in. Doors aren't shut right. Critters walk in. Things aren't sealed right. Rain gets in. You're not in your right mind. Unhealthy relationships come in, bad decisions come in, because you are still walking and getting healed and learning what it means to walk by faith, not by sight, how to do it God's way. But it doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Nothing is perfect. Nothing. He's perfect. So the fact that we can engage still in life shows the fact that we serve a God who's greater than our fears, greater than our worries. And I want to encourage you to look past that and move on. And you have an opportunity right now. You have an opportunity. I've got a baseball jersey on right now. It's baseball season. It's been delayed a couple weeks. People are in mourning over that because it's been, and it's okay. You're going to get over it. And I have a bat up here. You have an opportunity right now to get in the batter's box and take a swing. Okay? What that means is this, is that it doesn't matter what life is being thrown at you. You have an opportunity to get in the box and say, you know, we're going to connect with this pitch that's coming in. Okay? And not be fearful of it. Because of the ramifications if you don't. You've got to do it. If no one else, you've got to do it. And I think about this analogy of when you have a batter in the box and the pitch is coming in. Rarely do you see the guy jumping out of the way and getting out of the batter's box to avoid the pitch. They've trained themselves so much to take a look at what's coming out of the pitcher's hand to see what kind of pitch it is, so that when the pitch comes in, they can lean in and connect to it. And so if you don't understand that concept, it begins to look a little bit weird when you have a guy who's in a batter's box and all he does is step out like this and try to swing because he's afraid. It's never going to hit it. And so you have to stay in that box and keep your eyes where it needs to be, and so when the ball comes in, so you can connect correctly and try to swing. Now, even the best players don't get a hit every time. But they still get in the box and they swing because of what's at stake. This guy is trying to get me out. I'm trying to swing and get a hit so that I can advance myself not only, but so I can get on base and advance my team. Because the idea is for me to win, not lose. And so if you don't get in and just attempt to do it, you've already lost. You've already lost. The only failure is not trying. I saw this sign the other day, and it made me laugh. It said, don't be afraid to suck at something new. And And I'm telling you right now, for you, it might be my new, might be, I'm just going to tell someone about Jesus. I don't really do this. But hey, listen, you don't have to worry because I serve a God who's bigger. May not be your thing, but this is your time to get up and do something different and to think differently about your life and really what it's about. Because all this does is that it takes people's eyes off what's normally happening and begins to say, oh, wait, there's something bigger going on here. I'm not in control. Wait a minute. Wait, something can happen to me. Wait, I'm not in control. And it becomes, people become very introverted. They become very closed off, very isolated. And once you do that, you open yourself up for the attack of the enemy. And so rather than saying, no, hold on, I'm going to engage this. I'm going to engage it. I'm going to use wisdom, but I'm going to engage this thing, okay? Because I'm going to hit this thing. You got these guys right here who could have said, you know what? It's easier for me to say, ah, let's just bow. No one's looking. I wonder how many times you said that. Of where it was easier for you just to, let me just cut that real quick. I won't do it like that. Because no one's looking. And in reality, he's looking. I love Jesus' response. You know he responds to faith. So these guys say, you know what? I'm willing to give my life up for him. You know he's like, I'm coming. I'm coming. Because he responds in faith. Not only, we're not talking about a normal situation where it's like, listen, somebody rejected me. I told them about you and it really didn't work. No, we're in the fire literally right now. And my life is on the line. And Jesus said, I know your life's on the line. But guess what? I am the resurrection. I am the life. And I'll get in there with you. What kind of God does that? Who decides that I work best in the fire? I work best when things are difficult. Don't ask God. Listen, and I appreciate this. Our relationship with God is very intimate. Everyone has a different type of view of who God is. Let's ask God for God stuff. Let's get in and begin to pray bigger prayers. God already stands. Listen, he already said, I'm going to, every day, I'm already going to give you mercy and grace. I'm already going to do it. My mercies are new every morning. My compassions don't fail. So you don't have to worry about that. But I'm asking you to come up on a higher place and believe me for more. Like, I want the type of life he's saying that, listen, if I don't come through, it's not going to work. That's what God is saying. Listen, I want you to come through because it's being so fired up and anticipating that God will come through that causes us to get in the box and say, I'm going to swing. I'm going to try to do this. What kind of life, listen, what kind of life would it be if you say, you know what, I'm taking off the limitations that I put on God and how he's going to come through. And I'm saying, okay, God, I'm giving you my life. And if you deliver me, great. If you don't, it's still good too, because I'm going to be with you. What kind of life would your life be like, and where would it take you? It would take you from living a small-minded life, which we all do at times, because of comfort and fear. And the greatest fear that we have is the unknown. And being able to say, God, regardless if you take me out or if you don't, I'm still going to trust you. And when God comes and does deliver you, doesn't it give you more of a faith in him to know that next time he's going to do it again? That's who God is. But I got to get up and I got to swing. I might strike out. I might, but at least I swung. Have you ever seen this? Baseball people in here, back row. We've got someone in here in softball. You ever see someone get up to the plate and they call it, well, I'm going to just take a walk. And all they do is this. They watch the ball come in. Because, listen, I'm just going to take a walk because I'm going to get on base. And you know sometimes pitchers do this because they can't hit, number one. And when they get in, they're like, listen, I'm just going to watch the pitch. It looks good, but I'm just going to watch it go in. Because you know when they swing, it looks awful. It doesn't work. Okay? So the ball goes in, and they just watch it. And even when they swing, sometimes they don't swing even because that's not their job. Their job is to pitch. Okay, they know the role is, but still they're in the box. I think some people, what they do is they get in and they say, okay, well, unless it looks good, I'm not going to swing. The problem is that it could start off different, but eventually land up in the strike zone good. So you have to recognize something and don't begin to put God in your box and say, well, if it doesn't start off right, then I'm not going to look at it because it's not good. God said, that's not how I work. I work all things out for your good. I work all those things out. So it can start off bad, but I can make it work out good. Don't throw it out just because it looks like it's a curveball. It looks like it's not going to be there. Follow it all the way in. Don't think because it doesn't look like the way it's supposed to look doesn't mean it's not going to be a strike. Because God often doesn't just come down and say, here you go. It looks good, here you go. You have to use wisdom and discernment in how to approach situations. That's why when you look at the Old Testament and you see King Saul versus King David, they're polar opposites. The people looked at King Saul and said, he looks good, he must be great. He looks good, he's tall enough, he'll be great. And God said, not so much. I got another guy who's smaller, who's got a ruddy complexion. He's not perfect, but he's the guy out there. He's killing lions and bears. He's going to have issues, but his heart is right. So I'm going to take that guy over this guy. That's why when you look at people, and we all do this, you cannot judge them per se on what you see right away. You've got to look a little bit deeper and say, okay, there might be something going on there. This is where God works. God does not do it the way you want it done. He does not do it the way the world wants it done. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Basically, what he says is that the things that you think are great, I'm going to make look bad. And the things that you say, you know what, are not going to amount to anything, I'm going to raise that person up or raise that situation up, and it's going to speak volumes of my goodness and my greatness. So what is God asking you to do in your life right now? This is the opportunity. Swing. Well, what if I miss? Well, that's an option. You might. But how do you know what you're going to connect with if you don't swing? How do you know that God doesn't want to bring the biggest breakthrough in your life if you don't ever swing? And you're just letting stuff go by. Letting stuff go by. And they're good pitches. They're good. God said, I'm throwing them in there. Every day I'm giving you mercy. I'm giving you grace. But you still are walking in condemnation, and you're still walking in fear. Yesterday is over. You're still walking in all that stuff. And you miss the grace for today because you're concerned about what happened yesterday. I just want you to accept that. And are we ever going to get to the point where we actually just accept the fact that yesterday's dead, his mercies are new, his compassions don't fail? And I am growing in my faith. I am learning how to be a Christian. I am learning how to take a swing. And sometimes I miss, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I swing and it hits right off the end of the bat. And I start to run, but at least I swung and at least I connected. Other times I feel like I'm such in a groove that I'm just hitting. Other times I totally miss the pitch. God sent someone in, he said something because I wasn't necessarily in the place I needed to be. I totally missed what God wanted to do. Doesn't mean I'm bad, just means, you know what, get back in the box. We do three things here. Our core values are love God, embrace community, serve the world. So we revolve around those three things at this church with an emphasis on how are we doing physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Because those things in our life help us to be effective as people. And if we're not growing and developing, we're stunting the progress that God wants us to have in our life. If we're not growing and developing. And it doesn't mean just because you're not growing the way you think you're going to grow that you're any less. It just means that, hey, like now, what do I need to do to be creative? And I just might swing. I might. Let's ask yourself, when's the last time you took a different route home from work? Number one. Number two, when's the last time you did something different with your finances? Number three, when's the last time you decided to have a different approach with your wife or your spouse? When's the last time you said, you know what, instead of reacting, I'm going to work on myself. And I'm going to go through that progress and process so that I can be more effective. And ask yourself what that looks like. I got to swing, though. I got to get in and try it. If I don't do it, I'll never know. And this is what God is asking us to do. Get in the box. Well, what if I fail? You might. Odds are you might. Odds are you may swing and miss and strike out and go 0 for 3 and have to go home with your bat and ball and say, well, I guess I'll have to try again tomorrow. But make sure you get up and try again tomorrow. Don't walk home and never come back. It's a shame. People who have tried things and say, well, I tried it like one time and it didn't work for me. And God said, why one time? We had this question on social media a couple months ago, the last month, that said, listen, why do people quit? And the answer was, I don't know, it's just easier. And in reality, it is. It's easier. Because fear is an option. For you to say, well, I don't know what it's going to turn out to be anyway, so I'd rather quit. Because rather than try and see if maybe it works, just quit. But there's no progress, there's no growth, there's no development, there's nothing. Listen, if you're working at a situation in your life and you're working at it and you're working at it, I promise you God will reward your work. I promise you. But if you decide that now I'm going to quit and not work on it, God's not going to be pleased with that type of attitude because he responds to faith. Lord, I'm not getting it, but I'm working on it. And I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And God gives you the grace to work on it. I'm getting better all the time. But you got to keep getting after it and getting in there. Players who get better are not the players who didn't make it or not the players who struck out and decided, you know what, this sport's not for me. Well, you played the sport all your life, but you had a bad day. It's not for me anymore. It's not for you anymore. You're gifted, you're talented. It's just not for me. It's tragic. It would be tragic to follow that thought process, right? And that's how people sometimes get in relationships. They're like, well, yeah, we've been together a while, but it's just not working anymore. Well, why not? Oh, it's just not working. He's not changing. I'm not changing. Bingo. You stop swinging. You stop trying something new. You didn't stop long enough to say, man, can I be doing something different here? And really just hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, like, hey, boy, try to do something different, because he talks to you still like that sometimes, like, hey, try something different. You're looking at the same problem the whole time. Try something different. Take this out. Put this in. Use the gifts that I've given you. Create. It might look messy. It might look like a big art piece and like your finger painting, and it looks awful, but at least you're up there making a mess. And then you can initial RJS on the bottom and sell it for $300,000, because somebody will look at it and say, that is so beautiful. I can see what you're doing there. And you're saying to yourself, dude, all I know is that I put like green, blue, purple, yellow all together, and I decided that looks, you know what I'm saying. Because you don't understand how people will look at you and respond to you if you don't get up and actually try. Listen, one of the things about baseball specifically is it's a team sport, okay? It's a team sport. Softball's a team sport, okay? Me getting on base is beneficial to my team. The next guy comes up and says, listen, what can I do to move this person over and to advance them? Because the goal is to score. So that at the end of the game, we have more than they do. So you have a responsibility as a Christian to advance your walk so that you can help advance the team. Because it's a team sport. So when we're not doing what we can do to advance and to grow, we are hurting our team's chances of winning. Well, I thought we've already won, brother. Yeah, we've won. Yes. But right now we are in reality where we are working out that salvation with fear and trembling. We are working out life. We're on our way, and we're winning. We're overcoming by faith. We're learning what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. And so there are things that God has placed inside of us that need to come out. Gifts that have to come out. Talents have to come out. And they don't come out unless we're squeezed, we're in the fire, that God is doing something in our lives. We've taken a stand, and God said, okay, I see it. I've seen what you've done. You take a stand. You said no to that. You said yes to this. Okay, I can work with that. Give God something to work with. I'm just looking for a little bit to work with. That's the goodness of God. But often it comes with us making a decision that says, I will not conform to the way it was previously in my life. I will not bow down to my own insecurities and inferiorities. I will not give in to the fact that, God, you have called me to do something new. I will not stop with the vision that you placed in my heart. I will not quit when it gets hard. Give me wisdom to be creative. Help me to know the difference to be able to step back. I will not stop advancing, even though things are coming against me on every single side. I will not stop meeting with people just because things are happening all around us. I will not stop being in the church just because everyone else said it's just easier for us to just do life by ourselves. I will not stop developing and learning how to be a better husband because God has called me to serve my wife. Okay, I will not stop being a better father because God said to train up children in the way they should go so when they're old, they won't depart from it. I will not stop being those things because God has called me to do that. And so what is your statement that you're saying, I will not do this? I've come too far to say, well, the best is not yet to come. I'd rather go back. There is nothing back there. Hold up, and you have to guard against the frame in your mind that says it was better. It wasn't necessarily better. What it was comfortable, and God's grace was there shielding you from what eventually he was calling you to. Frame it right. So you didn't have it all together. You thought you did in your limited perspective of what it was. And until you got older and God said, no, this is really what it is, it changed your perspective on the goodness and grace of God, how he protected you all the way through this, that I was in the fire even way back. I didn't just start getting in with you. I was in it when mom and dad came together. I was in it helping you get through that canal. I was in it helping you come out of that canal. I still got the thing right here. If you look closely, they couldn't get me out. They came in. I was in there, God said. I've been in there in every step of your life, in every phase. Think about your life right now, every step and phase of your life, through your issues, through your hardships, through the things that you've gone through in your life, relationally, I've been through everything. It wasn't better. You were comfortable in just being mediocre and walking in the flesh. That's what you were comfortable with. And you didn't necessarily know any better, and that's okay. But my grace was sufficient. So you can't go back to that anymore because that's not you no more. I got you here now. And this is where I want you to stay with me. It's the unknown, but it's a good place. Because there are things you don't need to know, number one. And what you need to know, you need to know. You know? That's who God is. Have you ever asked God, Lord, I just want you to show me. And God said, no, you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. Because if I showed you it, number one, you'd try to make sense of it and you can't. And number two, it would freak you out of the magnitude of actually what's happening and going on in your life and the warfare that's taking place right now. It would freak you out. And so I'm shielding you from that. All I'm asking you to do is stand and trust in me, but keep swinging. Keep getting up in the box because guess what? You're getting better. And I keep getting better. It's not that he has to get any better. You just know, oh, man, he keeps on getting better because I'm seeing more of who he is. 1 John 4:18, you can put the scripture up. It says, there's no fear in love. But perfect love dries out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not been made perfect in love. There's something that happens in a person's life when they begin to understand they're loved and valued. They don't have to walk in fear and in trepidation because they know that there's someone has been with them and who's for them and will help them. But the person who doubts their worth and doubts who they are in Christ and doubts that they're actually someone who's actually for them will struggle with this. Because, and if you're like me, just being vulnerable at times is being more performance-oriented at times, like we can get. Because especially as men, God has called us to rule and conquer. We have to be careful that we don't associate that type of attitude and what God has placed in us with the fact that, well, God loves me less if I don't. God is saying, I want you to live and act like I've created you to do. Okay? As a man and as a woman, I want you to do that. So when I live beneath that, then what I do is I cheapen God's creation. If I'm not walking in confidence and walking in who God has called me to be, then what I'm doing is I'm saying, well, God, you didn't create really me to be effective or for me to really be valuable. I'm really nothing. And number two, it really robs the world of the gift that God has placed. And sometimes we can get like that. And I want you to take a look at your life real quick. And if you're that type of person who, when things don't go right and it gets difficult, you start to kick the can down the street. And woe is me, that's not God. If you're the type of person when things don't go right that straps up and says, okay, he's doing something different. Let's do it. I'm going to engage at it. I'm going to engage at it. All right, I'm going to attack this thing this way and see what God does. And when I begin to do that, my perspective changes. That's what happens when you begin to respond by faith. Things change. When you walk in fear, you are crippled and you begin that death process in your life that God says is not from me. Fear is not from me. It's an option, but it's not from me. Perfect love casts out fear. But that means you're going to have to get in it to see that he's with you. It's not going to be, well, I'm going to get on the sidelines and not experience anything, and then God will show me he's with me. No, God says, get in. Get in the water. You do it even with your own kids. When you were growing up, think about growing up with your kids. When you saw fear, like, oh, hold up. We're not going to deal with that type of attitude, and you will do it. Remember back, you're going to do it. Wow, I don't feel like it. You're going to do it because it's going to help with your discipline. It's going to help open your eyes. It's going to help broaden your perspective. You need to get out there because life is life. And the sooner you can get it and understand that, the sooner you're to strap up and say, let's get it on. Stop running the other way. I'm telling you, God is raising up a people who are facing stuff head on. I don't care what it looks like, facing it head on. I might suck at it, but guess what? I'm still going to face it head on. Because God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so I don't have to fear it. I might fear. Fear might enter in. But my response to that is very important. If I give into it, I end up dying on the inside. But if I embrace it, even though it might be uncomfortable, I end up soaring. Zig Ziglar said this. There's an acronym for fear. Nope. Flee everything and run, or face everything and rise. Take that home with you today. Flee everything and run, face everything and rise. Don't be the type of people who say, not for me. Start running 5Ks and 10Ks and marathons and see what it does. Sarah. A few years ago when it was a struggle to do that, now it's different today because I'm going to do it. One day, all of a sudden, it's not like, well, I feel like I'm just going to run a 10K today. I'm going to be fine. It's a struggle to get there, okay? But she did it, and now she's addicted in a good way, right? Because of the challenge, it says, you know, I can do it. I can do more. Isn't that what God does? Wait a minute, I can do it. I can do more. And that's what God wants you to see. Wait a minute, I can face this. I can face more. And you get excited about it because you realize, wait, he hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And what do I have to fear if he's with me? It doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't look right. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to engage it. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to engage it. I've learned the secret of being content. Be uncomfortable. Because that's when he comes in. Well, that's not Bible. I thought it was when I had a lot and I had a little. No, no, no. I'm taking it further. The secret of being content, be uncomfortable. Because God comes in and shores you up and gives you the strength that you need to fight the good fight and to learn and to grow. That's who he is. That's why God's not allowing you to be comfortable right now. That's why you say to yourself, well, can I just have a break? Maybe. You got 15 minutes. You think I'm joking. But what happens is we get on this kick where it's like, well, we get on extended breaks with God. Well, I'm on a break. I'm taking time myself. Really doing some soul searching. Yeah, I just, you know, it's a season of my life. People start doing this whole thing, and it's like, man, here's the deal. Okay? You're opening yourself up right now for stuff. This is the time where you need to start growing and engaging. There is no retreat. The Bible does not talk about retreat. I look at this and I'm like, I can't find the word in there. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. He said, forgetting those things that are behind, press. He said, put your hand in the plow, but don't look back, because you're not worthy of the kingdom if you look back. What does it mean? Can I not, like, think about the past? That's bondage. We all have times when we go back and think about the past and how it was. And that's not saying that. What God's saying is gravitate and go back and engage it again and say, it was so good being in Egypt. It was so good being in slavery. It was so good when I had to make brick without straw. It was so good when I didn't know where money was coming from. It was so good when they used to beat on me. It was so good when I had an emotional complex about myself and I couldn't function. It was so good. It was so good. God's saying, no, not that. It was wonderful when I learned how to foster codependency because I couldn't deal with my life. It was wonderful. God said, go back. Yeah, rejoice. And it was wonderful. Not to the life I called you now. Move forward. You're loved. You're accepted. How do I know? It's what the Bible says about him. God has said, I've given you so many chances. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. You're crying so much, you're running out of tears. I'm just trying to tell you, I love you. I've got good things for you. Okay, Lord, what else? Get involved in the community. Get involved in church. Get around other people who are doing life so they can help you. They can help raise you up. I don't know. I don't know what else to do. Well, if that's not okay, use your gift. Use what I've given you. What have I given you? You can sing. You can work with your hands. You can do admin work. You can run a company. Use it all. And then you'll begin to say, man, I am valued. I am gifted. Then God does have a plan for my life. And then I don't look back and say it was better then. No, it's good now, even though it's uncomfortable, because at least I know God's given me the strength to grow and develop and have healthy outlook in my life. So I could sleep better. Get up and into the fire, God is saying. Get up in it. Don't wait any longer. There's not a time for retreat. This is a call today. This is what I believe God has mandated myself, this church, to do. Get up and get in. There is no other option. And God will allow it to be that way, where you will have to move forward. One of the best movies of all time, Lord of the Rings. They're in the mines of Moria. They're about to go in. Sean, you know what I'm talking about? They're going in. He loves this movie, this trilogy. So he goes in, and all of a sudden, they're trying to debate whether or not they can make it through. And this sea monster comes out of the lake, wrecks their plan, destroys it. The rocks fall down and shuts the cave. And Gandalf, in the way only Gandalf could say, well, our only choice now is to face the mines of Moria. Let's hope that her presence goes undetected. And if you know the movie, they see some stuff. It's not how God does it. You're going to see some stuff. And your presence, come on, man. Your presence is not going to go undetected. God does not hide you from things and say, hey, I don't want the world to know what I've done and what I'm doing. So we're going to tiptoe around live. God says, we're going to make a little stand here. You're going to get up. You're going to walk through the darkness. I'm your light. Let's go after it. Stop walking back from it. When you have the light inside of you that shines brighter than anything. Why do you have to be afraid of the dark? Still. The light shines best in the dark. Isn't that why it's there? That's how it's revealed. That's how you see the value and the brightness of it and really what it's there for. So you can get through, so it lights your way. That's what the Word of God does. That's why the Bible talks about your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, I'm stepping out on faith. Now, I pray that we have people that people are just running after stuff. They don't even wait anymore. That word that we talked about at the beginning of the year, how God wants us to advance and pursue, is so burning in my heart right now in an nth degree. More so, go after it more. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, go after it more, because I want you to see what I've called you to and how to advance. Doesn't mean you don't take losses. We all have them. That's life. It doesn't mean the war stops. Think about that for 1 minute. Friends are dying around them. Things aren't working out the way it's supposed to be. That's not worth it no more. We wouldn't be here today. But they knew we were part of something bigger. Do you? The enemy would like nothing more than to snuff out the light that a Christian has. Nothing more. But you have an obligation to keep that light burning. I don't care what it looks like. I'm tired. I don't care. Get up. Continue to do it. Because the strength is made perfect in your weakness. Everybody gets tired. Don't use it as an excuse where it's like, well, I just can't do it no more. You can do it. Get up and do it. Go to bed. Get up and do it. I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Pull your pants up. Do it. Do it. What I'm talking about, pull your pants up and do it. Let's go. Do it. Ever have God come and talk to you like that? Hey, let's go. Come on. You're in a fight right now. Stand up in it. That's what a good coach does. That's what a good father does. Hey, I see you right now. It's okay. You're getting slapped around. But this is a good type of fight. I like these. See, what you're used to is the easy. This is going to be patty cake. God said, no, we're not. That's not what war is. That's not what this is about. You get in the box, that pitcher can throw at you. He can hit you. You're going to have to duck. You're going to have to stand. You have a choice. When that ball comes in, stand your ground and swing. Take a step and swing. You might have to duck because he might let one go. But swing. Stay in it. And I'll close with this. One of my favorite things. When I see a pitcher, and this is a baseball theme today, obviously, when I see a pitcher throwing and a batter's in there battling and fouling off pitches, this guy's just fighting to stay alive. Fighting to stay alive. Sometimes 9 pitches, 10 pitches. The beauty of it is either A, he finally gets a hit, or he finally walks, and you congratulate the guy for just standing in it and not giving up. Man, I'm going to keep swinging. I'm going to keep swinging. And what it does is it makes the team say, man, this guy's going the extra mile. That's what I get excited about. This guy's going the extra mile, man. I'll go to bat for that guy. You want people to look at you that way? I'll follow that guy. I'll do it that guy because you know what? He's tired. He's bruised. His shirt's off. His body's painted in war paint. And he's bleeding, but he's still doing it. Isn't that the team you want? You want to be around a team like that. You don't want to be around someone that says, well, it's too hot in the foxhole. It's too hot. I don't want to be here. No, it's just too hot. I can't deal with it. Get out then. Come on now. Isn't that what God is looking for? People who are going to lead by example. Isn't that what you're looking for? Who you admire? For people who are successful, will take a beating and they still do it. Man, I can't. What is it about that guy who just keeps getting up and doing it? Man, that's what you want. You're looking for the inspiration stories. You know, you don't have to say it. You're looking for it. You want more. Lord, it's a someone. Let's all stand to our feet. Get in the box. Years ago, I was playing baseball, and one of the parents on our team, his son was afraid of the ball. And this guy, I was at practice one day, he was so frustrated, he said, son, get up against the backstop. He started throwing balls at him to get him over the fear of balls. I'm just going to throw it. You might have to duck, dodge, jump, I don't care. Just get up against the backstop. I want you to get over that. So that when you see it next time, you're not as afraid and intimidated. Because you've already felt it on you a little bit. It's going to hurt, but it's okay. I can still stand in it. Okay, it's not easy, but you can still stand in it, okay? You're used to that by now. You know what it is now to be hit. You know what it is to be lied on. You know what it is to be rejected. You know all that stuff. You're just used to it. Just stay in it. It doesn't bother you so much anymore. Don't like me? It's okay. I've been around long enough. I've seen a lot. I've been hit. It's cool. But guess what? Doesn't stop the fact that keep throwing. It's too much at stake. The team's got to win. Not only that, but I got to do my part. So what does that look like? Father, thank you for your goodness today, your grace, the fact that you are in the fire with us always. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against us, we shall condemn, because that's our heritage. Lord, that nothing can come against us that you don't see and that you are not acutely aware of. I pray that you would just help your people to keep getting up and swinging. When they're tired, to keep getting up and swinging. When they don't see it, to keep getting up and looking. When they don't see the door opening, to keep knocking. When they don't see what they want to see, to continue to walk by faith. When they feel like they're being rejected, to know that they're accepted with you. For them to understand what it means to be loved and valued by a father. Thank you for their eyes being fixed upon you. Raising up people who love you above anything else. No fear is going to come against them that they're not going to be able to overcome by faith. I pray even this week, thank you, God, for pushing them forward. Even when they don't feel like doing it, push them forward. I thank you this week, Lord, helping people to stand the way you've called them to stand, that fear will not rob them of the life that you called them to walk in, but faith will rise up and they will see that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and then we don't have to back down for anybody. Nobody. Because you're with us. And if you're with us, who can be against us? Thank you for toughening your people up, getting them tenacious. Don't let them run. Help them to get in a fight. so that they can see your goodness in the midst of hardship and difficulty. Lord, that's where you work best. Not the fact that we pray that on ourselves, but we do pray the fact that your grace is sufficient during the times of our life that are hard and that we can't see. You're raising up a generation of people who walk by faith, who are in tune with your Spirit. And I pray that you would help people grasp that and get engaged in that process. And in the growing pains and the learning times, that you would help them understand they're still loved. But to try. Thank you, God, that today we have a bunch of winners in here. They're all winners because of what you've done. I pray that they would take that leap of faith with you and continue to move on, that you would develop healthy habits. Thank you, God, for helping develop businesses in here. Thank you, God, for helping to develop healthy relationships in here, for helping people to get over fear, past shadow mistakes, things that took place in their life that are no longer part of who they are, but they still keep drudging that stuff up. Thank you, God, that you've delivered, you saved them. Thank you that what was is what was, and God, that what is what is, and that what will be, you have for us already in store. And God, that we can be okay and excited about that stuff. Thank you for wisdom to know what you're doing, but faith to pursue. You even told David, pursue, for you will get it all back in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's finish out with this song today. Thanks.